Well, we're going to continue with two series today. I'm going to double dip. I'm going to be finishing up the series on stewardship, week four on stewardship, and I'm going to be starting the finish of 1 Corinthians. Because the passage we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. And we'll see how this ties together, these two series, as this was our next passage. It says, "Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, I will accompany them." Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we just ask right now that you send your Holy Spirit to open up the meaning that you've put here, to give us understanding, or that we would see your truth and not just see it as something far off and distant, but as something here, now, and immediate for our lives. Lord, show us how to apply it and use it every day so that we might better serve you. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me this morning, that as I come and preach, you would speak to me and through me, and that each of your people who hear this message would be encouraged and blessed. Now, Father, be present here. Be lifted up and glorified. Let your people be encouraged and blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to back up one verse to chapter 15, verse 58. As Paul concluded the previous chapter, he said, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Now, Paul had been talking about some pretty deep theological subjects. Pretty cerebral stuff, brain stuff. Then he gets into this nitty-gritty, administrative, this is how you apply it to your life. This is how we do it every day stuff. About the offering, he says. Well, the conclusion here we see of 15, to always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That what we're doing is we're working for the Lord. And isn't that what I've been showing us, what stewardship is that we work for the Lord? And now he's telling us what to do with a portion of the fruits of that labor. He says, "For the offering for God's people." Specifically, this is for the poor followers of Christ in Jerusalem. They're taking an offering to send to Jerusalem. As we see later, just a little bit further in the passage, he's talking about sending it on and going to give them letters of introduction and maybe even go himself. So Paul shifts gears, saying, we've been talking all this, but now he's saying, this is what it looks like when the rubber meets the road. I think one of these mics is open. No? Well, I won't stand over there then. But I was getting right in front of that monitor. That might have been it. The people are being told to collect money according to their own income each week. They're set aside a portion. Now, this money, this collection that's being made, this isn't the tithe that he's talking about. He uses a very different word than tithe or offering. He talks about this particular offering 9 different times. He talks about it many times, but he uses 9 different words when he talks about it. He calls it here, logia. Well, Peggy could probably get up here and do the Greek better than I could, but I'll give it a shot. Which means an extra collection. The Greek word here means about the collection, means about an extra collection. Taking an extra collection. Another place, it refers to it as cherish. That's a free gift. Freely given. Another place, koinonia. Koinonia means fellowship. And the essence of fellowship is sharing. There's another place where he refers to this gift that's being taken, this special offering, this collection. He refers to the gift itself as koinonia. This is fellowship. It's sharing what we have. Diakonia is another word used. And here it means practical Christian service. Hedrotz means abundance. Eulogia means bounty. Liturgia is a Greek word. Was originally means service to the state voluntarily accepted. Ilosome is the Greek word for alms. Jews held alms and righteousness to be so close that the word was interchangeable. Alms and righteousness. The last of the 9 words that he used describing this particular collection in the various places that he talks about it in his letters is prosphora, which is an offering and a sacrifice. These are the various words. An offering and sacrifice, alms, a voluntary sacrifice, something that comes from our bounty, something that comes from abundance, practical service, sharing, a freely given, free gift, something that comes with no strings attached, extra collection. These are all the various words that Paul uses talking about this collection. So we see it's not the tithe. None of them have any connection to tithe. So this is above and beyond. And we're supposed to do this regularly, intentionally, purposefully, take and set aside a portion of the money for others. This isn't for God, though it is. But it's purposely for the people of God. And I say it's for God. How can I say it's for God and it's for the people of God at the same time? Well, what does Jesus say in Matthew? I mismark that? Okay. Jesus tells us that as we do for the least of these, so you do for me. As we go and visit those in prison, as we give to those who are in need, he says, what you didn't do for them, you didn't do for me. So as we do for the people of God, we are doing it as for Christ. When we give to one another, we're giving to God. And he's telling us here, Paul is, that this is supposed to be part of our regular practice. We're just not supposed to wait until something happens, the world blows up, and then we're going to give. There's some tragedy. In fact, we're supposed to be ready to give so that we don't have to take that special offering when the need shows up. But we're to collect so that it's there. We have something like that. We call it the Deacon's Fund. This is the tool that we as a church body have that people give to. When somebody has a need, they come to us and we say, you know, I have a need. And we say, well, speak to the deacons. Why do we tell them to speak to deacons? Because the deacons have the deacons fund. This money that we've collected regularly and stored against a need. So somebody comes and then they evaluate the need and give as they're able. Now, if there's money in the deacon fund, they generally help the person in need. But sometimes there's no money there. And then you know what we tell them? Sorry. That's not what we want to tell them. But sometimes it's all we can. We don't have to do that too often. I will tell you that our congregation has been fairly faithful in keeping money in the Deacon's Fund, that there's usually something there. Though we can't meet every need that is brought, at least not fully all the time, but at least we can do something to be of assistance, to come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why would we do this? Well, one, because it is indeed, as Jesus told us, as you do for the least of these, so you do unto me. Well, he also told us that we are to love one another. By this they will know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. Love doesn't mean enabling somebody to do something wrong. So sometimes we have to tell somebody, no, we're not going to give you any funds. But it does mean helping people who are in crisis. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. We need to help them so that we can do what's best for them. It's what God has told us to do. Now, Paul here has told us that this giving is to be regular. We're to do it each week. We're to set it aside. So it's regular, it's intentional, we're prepared, we're careful. We're just not supposed to just send it off willy-nilly. He's saying, okay, when you've got your people set up, I'll see who they are, and I'll write letters of introduction so that properly send them along. And if I feel it's necessary, I'll go too, to make sure that this money goes to the right people. We're just not supposed to be whoever with it. We are supposed to be intentional. And we are supposed to see that it's used well. But its purpose is to be benevolent. So that we are part of God's blessing on others. You see, we've talked about all the various ways of own and owning, and I've called this being properly. Taking proper ownership. We need to take ownership of the job God has given us. He's given us the task of caring for one another. We need to take ownership of each other. I am indeed my brother's keeper. Today we received in a couple of new members. And one of the things we talked about in membership class is that we're accountable one to another. If we see them stepping into a life or activities that would be harmful to their Christian walk, hurt them in some way, it is our responsibility to come alongside of them and say, that's a bad idea. And if necessary, to bring them into Christian discipline. See, the point of Christian discipline isn't to make somebody feel bad, but it's to correct and bring them back into fellowship. It's one of the things that we talked about extensively at the peacemaking training that I was at this last week at Pastors Institute. Is the point of discipline is the restoration of the body, not punitive, to cause hurt or to punish, but to change one's direction and bring them back. Benevolence, which Paul is talking about here, is that same activity, except instead of somebody being stuck in being walked in a sin, they have problems of the world coming against them. And we're to come alongside and help them. We're not each in this all by ourselves, but we're in it together. So we need to take that proper ownership. See, the proper ownership is to own the job, own the purpose, why God put us here. Not the resources, not the stuff. I don't own the stuff. I own the task He gave me. See, the stuff He gave me is just in my care. The task He gave me is mine and mine alone. The task He gave you is yours and yours alone. It's not my job. It's your job. And you need to do it. We need to do what He has given us as a congregation to do. Benevolence that we see here is just part of that. It's the other part of stewardship. It's the not being enamored of the stuff, but using of the stuff properly for the blessing of God's people. And sometimes the blessing of those who aren't yet God's people, but whom we wish to share God's mercy and glory with. I'm going to share with you a true story, one that occurred here in the Twin Cities just before Christmas. In fact, I believe it was on the 23rd. I think that's what the date is. And many of you probably remember this, at least parts of it, but bear with me here. I have to admit a severe case of cynicism as we approach the celebration of our Savior's birth. I had it up to my eyeballs with snow. I had spent a week driving the hearse to medical examiner calls when people had died and their loved ones didn't care enough to claim the body. I had gone Christmas shopping in stores packed with people and screaming children, being told that Santa isn't coming to visit them. It just seemed that everyone was forgetting the reason for the season. Suddenly, all that changed. It was December 23rd of December, and the Red Cross asked my assistance in a multi-unit apartment fire in Burnsville. Over 250 people in two buildings were affected. The residents of B building were evacuated as a precaution and had to spend the night in the shelter. Their building wasn't damaged and they lost nothing. Still, many of them tried to get aid, which added to my cynicism. But as I also worked a number of cases in A building, the one destroyed in the fire consumed all of the third floor units, with the first and second floors receiving heavy smoke and water damage. The first few clients I assisted were from the first floor and furthest from the blaze. They still lost a substantial amount. I saw young mothers with newborn children. One was wearing a robe as a coat, all she could grab as the flames spread so quickly. About this time, it was announced that a hotel had donated rooms for those still in need, and the shelter began to tear down. I was one of the few caseworkers still remaining, while others tore down cots and blankets. At this time, I worked two families who were on the third floor and lost everything. It felt good to provide them with some ray of hope. It was about time to close, and my desk was the only one still standing when three women and a child walked through the door. As it turned out, the three women were sisters. The youngest sister and her son lost everything in the third floor apartment, including the son's breathing machine and medications. Even her car was frozen to the ground, covered in 6 inches of ice from the fire hoses. The older sister had already found a new apartment and furniture, but neither would be available until after January 1st. It was an honor to assist the woman and her son in meeting their needs for food and clothing. What I didn't realize was that I was about to receive my own miracle. A couple had been hovering about 10 feet away as I met with this woman. Slowly, they crept forward and asked the woman if she and her son had been in the fire. She said she had and had been on the third floor. The couple reached out and slipped something into her hand and quickly left, tears streaming down their faces. The tears spread to all of us as the woman opened her hand and revealing several $100 bills, 10 in all. The nameless couple had no idea that this woman was in the most dire need of all the clients I had seen. She was recently divorced and had just been laid off work, the work that paid for the insurance that covered the medications for her son. Her car was now unusable, and her home was gone, along with the meager Christmas presents she had provided her son. God directed this couple to this family, and we were all blessed in the process. Ironically, a few seconds later, her cell phone rang. A local hospital donated a breathing machine and replaced all her son's medications. Also, the owner of the complex walked over and asked her to come to a special meeting in the B building Christmas Eve morning. He then told her the news that the others would learn at the meeting. An anonymous donor had given $1 million to the residents. Each apartment affected would receive $17,500 for new furniture and clothes, much more than the woman lost. As hundreds poured in with clothes for victims, this woman and son leaving with smiles on their face, the hope in their hearts, I suddenly felt that Christmas glow deep inside. Suddenly the birth of the Savior had come to life in a truly miraculous way, the way melting the evil that I had witnessed. God was alive and well in the Twin Cities. He was touching the hearts of thousands in a mighty way. Christmas was alive and well. Even hundreds of young people were bagging groceries at Cub Foods all over town, giving up their Christmas vacation to help fire victims. What an awesome miracle. God is good. God is faithful. God always answers prayers and fills our needs in the worst disasters. Now, this is somebody who I had met through my work at the disaster on the when the bridge went down. Now, one of the things that this person points out is that God directed this couple to this family. They had money set aside. I'm not sure for what reason. But because they were prepared, God was able to direct them to a family in need. And they were able to come alongside and grant a ray of hope. In the midst of tragedy, this woman walked away feeling blessed. How does that happen? It happens because we are benevolent. That we, instead of trying to hold on to our stuff, we say, God, this is yours. Show me what I need to do with it. And when God says, I need you to take, go over here and you give this person $5, you go over there and you give them $5. And you say, Lord, show me what I can do. Well, you say, you know, I'm going to give to the deacon's fund. Just a few bucks every week. But that way, when there's a need, the money's there. I'm going to give to missions. Because you've called and you've told us. You've called us each to be part of giving. Now, this giving is all above and beyond the tithe, which is the part where he says, do this and see if I don't bless you. But these gifts are supposed to be coming out of sacrifice and out of God's blessings and provision and abundance. When we have, we're supposed to share. We're not supposed to pull it in close. Because if we are so interested in the stuff that we get more interested in accumulating it and holding on to it, we shut out God. But when we give, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, when it comes up alongside of us and whispers and says, Bruce, I want for you to give up the money that you had. You'd stashed a little money away, and I want you to take that money and give it here. Okay, Lord. Why? Out of love and obedience to God. Out of love one for another. Because when I do that, God draws me closer. And God blesses all the other people whom I touch. God uses me to bless others. We're owned. God created us. He bought us. He's sovereign. We work for the owner. That is, God owns all this stuff. We're His servants, His stewards. He rewards and punishes us according to what we do. If we are faithful to what His desire is and do the best that we can, God is faithful and blessing us, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we reject the call and we turn away from Him and we hide it, He says, away from me. Cast him out. See, if we're not willing to follow His directions, He's not really our Lord. One of the songs that we sang this morning, the first one, is We Welcome You. Lord, we welcome You. This is Your house, Your home. We welcome You here. How do you welcome somebody to their own home? I know Donna does it. My puppies do it. They welcome me to my home. I walk in and I feel welcome. Do we do that to our master? We're the stewards. We're the servants at His home. Are we making the home of our master welcoming to Him? Anybody ever not have things going on at home where you didn't feel welcome, or you just didn't want to go back there? I've seen way too many heads going, uh-huh. People, that's not the way God's house is supposed to be. Our house, our lives, our hearts are supposed to be for God. God is owed the tithe. We're supposed to pay. Why? Because God needs money? No, because we need to put Him first. And if we don't do that, we lose out. What does He do with that tithe? Well, He uses it to bless us. And He tells us, hey, trust me in this and see if I won't bless you. Test me in this. It's the only place He tells us to test Him. And He wants us to take ownership of the tasks that He's given us. That we need to own the jobs that He's given us. We need to be loving towards one another. We need to care for each other. Because what we do for them, we're doing it for Him. We need to be purposeful, intentional, regular, so that we are prepared for when there's a need. We can meet it. That we, the body, can help one another. It's part and parcel of what being a good steward is. This is what God has called us to. This is what we, as His children, redeemed, bought with His blood, need to, the way we need to live our lives. And as His church, the way we need to honor His sacrifice by putting His desires before our own. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You that You were benevolent towards us, that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, that You send the sun and the rain, cause the crops to grow, provide even for our bodies to heal. Lord, we ask that You would indeed show us what it is You would have each of us to do. How we can be better stewards of what You've given us, Lord. How we can be better servants of You, Lord. Might we indeed recognize that each and every day we're working for You. And Lord, might we recognize that as we bless one another, Lord, we are blessing You. Lord, might we not do this just haphazardly, but might we do this intentionally, purposefully, daily. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.